Kind of feel like Johnny Carson when he married off Tiny Tim to Miss Vicky, if some of you remember that. Why? Because I'm in one of those moods, and it is your radio show, and Danny has sent me an urgent email. So, Danny, I'm going to do this for you. I've never done this in my life, but Danny is actually asking me to propose to his girlfriend for him. Not for me, but for him. So I'm going to read this as he said it. He said, George, I want to marry my girlfriend. She's listening to your show right now, but I can't be with her. And I was wondering if you could ask her to marry me on the air. My name is Danny, and I want to marry my girlfriend, Carol. Can you please say it? Carol, it's me, Danny. I'm sorry I can't be with you right now, but I was wondering if you wanted to marry me. Thanks, George. I appreciate it. Well, Danny, you're going to have to let us know if she says yes. And to all you other Dannys out there who happen to be dating Carols, I really apologize for contributing to what could be a mess for you tonight. I'll be back. And welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're up. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. Where are you?
I am currently in Idaho.
Currently?
I don't claim to be here for long.
Where are you going?
As far as I know, anywhere.
Are you leaving us?
Not as far as I know.
You're what?
Not as far as I know.
All right, good. So what's up? What's going on?
Listen, I am the granddaughter of a brujeria and a Sundance chief. And I have experience with past lives.
All right.
So I wish to discuss this with you.
Well, you are on the air.
Woohoo! I had a weird experience when I was 14.
How so?
I had the experience of what I thought was in a dream, but what I realized later was a past life realization. Currently, I'm a female, 27, and at the time, I was a 34 to 36-year-old male in an Aztec situation, and I didn't understand at that time what was going on. I had a past life regression, I guess is what it would be called, modernized now.
Sure.
You know, before then I was just like, oh my God, what just happened to me? And I went ahead and discussed it with my grandma, who was at that time a brujeria. And what I realized, I mean, in this past life regression, I went to a port, I went to a temple, I had sex with a woman as a man.
I would hope so.
Oh, it was wonderful. But as a 14-year-old, it was very scary. And as your previous callers have mentioned, isn't it funny that everyone is a Cleopatra or a Nicholas or... I wasn't those things.
You were just an Aztec, just trying to get by.
Correct. I was a nobleman, but I was not, you know, the nobleman. I was a middleman.
So what happened to all of you? Did Cortez come and wipe you all out?
No, it was really funny because I guess it was before all this happened. It was before Montezuma's revenge, and it was before Cortez, and it was before Montezuma and all these things. What ended up happening to me was I was a scared 14-year-old that went to my grandma and I said, I don't know what's going on. And she told me, well, that's your past life. It's okay. Let us talk about it. And we talked about it and she heard the whole story. And what was really weird, not so much that I talked to my grandmother, was the fact that 3.5 weeks later, I think it's 3.5 weeks. I'm not really sure. National Geographic came out with a big spread about this new Aztec temple that they had found. And I had in writing to my grandmother described this entire temple.
Before that article came out?
Correct.
That's incredible. This is the first time I think we've ever had an Aztec, a reincarnated Aztec, on the program. That is fascinating. Hey, thanks for the call. Another caller. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Andrew. I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Hey, Andrew. How are you?
Pretty good. It's actually a pretty huge coincidence that I'm actually listening to you and talking to you right now. I just got a new phone, and it's one of these smartphones, and it was like, listen to radio shows on your phone.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And what happened is I used to drive with my dad to work every night. He used to get up at midnight, and I used to drive with him to work when I was very young. He owned his own business, and he always used to listen to Coast with Art Bell.
It stays in the family, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it was actually the first thing because you could choose different preferences, and that was the first one that popped up, so I just decided to listen. And so I heard the whole Marilyn Monroe guest thing, and I was like, that's kind of weird. You know, I'm not really saying that it's one way or another. And then right when you stopped it, there was that little 5 or 10 minute bit with the Buzz Aldrin alien thing.
Right.
Now, I really haven't been into any UFOlogy or anything like that. You know, it's nothing that I've ever studied. But when they were talking about that story and Apollo 11 calling into Houston, it was like I already knew that that happened somehow. And an acronym popped into my head, and the acronym was IAC. I don't know what that means or anything, but I kind of got a sense that it was kind of like almost that either I had read or somehow knew a report that was written about something with Apollo 11 and the fact that they called something in. It was weird.
Do you think you might have been one of those engineers at Mission Control?
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing. I have no idea, but I felt like I knew that that had already happened, and that the report had something to do with IAC, or that acronym is what came clearly into my head.
All right, I got to ask our little science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, what IAC means. Maybe it means something.
I don't know.
That is strange. Well, keep listening to us.
Will do.
Appreciate you being part of the program down there in Miami, WIOD land. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, what's up?
Hi, where are you?
Oh, I'm from Wenatchee, Washington.
Sure.
I've been listening to your show for quite a while. You and I are doing a good job.
Thanks. Getting any rumblings out there, earthquake-wise?
Oh, no, but I went to Jim Berkland's website, so I knew it was going to happen and all that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too surprised. But my main comment was, you know, with all this Alex Jones, you know, he's saying about the Illuminati, and everyone's saying about the Illuminati trying to control us. I was wondering, where are you and Art, and I guess if you can't get too straight with it, I mean, you know.
No, I'll shoot straight. Just ask me the question.
It's like, what are you guys planning to do? I mean, when with all this RFID chips and...
Well, I'm not going to get a chip.
Well, I mean, neither am I.
I mean, there's just no way. I don't want a chip in me, and I don't need it, and I can function. Now, what would I do if they say, we're going to do away with money, we're doing away with credit cards, we're going to biometrics, we're going to let you use your fingerprints, and we're putting chips in people?
And plus China, you know, we're probably going to have a war with China anytime soon.
I will resist for as long as I can to let them try to put these things into me, and I hope everybody else does too.
Yeah, I hope not. I'll never take it. I hope everyone else does. I hope they can see. And a little known fact, Prince Charles, I heard this, Prince Charles and his two kids were the first people ever to be RFID chipped. I'm not sure if
I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know, but, you know, it's happening. It's happening. 44 states now, there are 2,100 retail establishments that are using fingerprint IDs instead of credit cards. I mean, that's a long, long way. You got zapped. They got you. You already have a chip in you, don't you? Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
My name's Kaylani, and I'm from Idaho.
That's a pretty name. That's different.
Thanks. It means heavenly flower.
Heavenly. All right, heavenly flower, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering if you've ever heard any stories of Idaho, like Idaho Falls, Southeast Idaho.
Like what?
Well, we went camping, I'd say last fall. It was around deer hunting season, and we were all out fishing before we went hunting. And all of a sudden we've seen like this big puddle of blood by the Snake River. And
this is real, not a dream, right?
No, it's not a dream.
All right.
It's real because we were all freaking out because this big puddle of blood was right by the Snake River, and you could see like where something had been dragged. And then you've seen like these huge, they weren't like paw prints because there's a lot of mountain lions and stuff up here.
Sure.
And they were like if they were smudged on purpose, but you could see that something was dragged. And then, I don't know, I was just wondering if you've ever heard of anything in this area. Like, I live up by, in a little town called Ryrie, and it's like population nothing.
Well, what would I hear?
I don't know, like maybe stories of Bigfoot.
There's always stories about Bigfoot out there.
Yeah, but in this area, I'm from Texas. I grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth. I graduated from Texas Tech.
You're a chupacabra person.
Yeah, and, you know, it freaks me out. You know, I have a 90-mile paper route I do every morning, and I don't know. I'm not used to this. I want to know what
I'm not.
You know.
I'm not sure, Heavenly Flower, you can handle the truth if I told you.
I can. I want to know. And I always see weird lights because, I don't know, I guess we're so highly elevated. It looks like the stars are right there. And I always see, like, weird flashing lights. I don't know.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just weird.
You shouldn't be scared of that. That's not going to hurt you.
Well, I don't know.
I'd be more concerned about the thing that
about
dragged whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to go up in that area. They
You've got bears out there. Don't you have black bears up that way?
That's further like towards Montana area.
Well, they could have come down. He could have eaten some animal, could have captured a deer and dragged him along.
Yeah, but you can tell like a bear print, you know?
Well, what kind of print did it look like?
It just seemed like if it were, you know how like if you were to step in the sand and just like drag your feet?
Was it like a human then?
It seemed like it could have been a human like track.
How big was it?
Drag.
Does it look like a normal foot?
Well, it's like if you could.
You got to help me out here. I need more information. I can't help you unless you tell me what it is.
Okay. Well, like if you step in it and you see your heel print, but it was like if it was dragged and dragged and dragged, and then finally it was picked up, and then, you know, a couple feet later, you know, like maybe 6 inches away, it was. There's the other heel print, and then it was just dragged and dragged.
So you're saying it looked human as if it were dragged or dragging something.
Right.
Well, maybe it was a human. How do you know? Is anybody missing up in that area?
Well, I mean, they found, like, somebody up in that area.
When?
It was in a big news thing just, I'd say, about 6-7 months ago.
How did he die?
They think it was just a hiker who got lost and fell or did something, and his bones have finally been found like after a year or two.
So natural causes, I guess.
Yeah.
For him. All right.
Yeah.
Well, as the other thing, I don't know. I have no idea what that is or what's out there. And you say you deliver newspapers at night. Just be careful. This is a very, very dangerous country. And, 24,000 murders a year. That's more than the deaths in Iraq and the wars over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, actually. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. You've been discussing reincarnations quite a bit.
Sure.
Tonight. And this has troubled me my entire life. In the second grade, I was compelled to read histories of World War II. And literally the first novel or book I ever read was of the Battle of the Bulge. And then I read of Iwo Jima. And this compulsion has continued my entire life. I'm still possessed by it. And I tried to join the military repeatedly, but due to hearing loss, I haven't been able to get in. But in the third grade, I was always a troubled, emotional kid. And then the third grade, I came home from school as if I had an epiphany. And I approached my mother, and I said, I know what happened. I figured it out. And I proceeded to tell her of how I had died in the black sands of Iwo Jima. I'd lost my left leg from what I think was a mortar round.
Did you say Iwo Jima at 8 years old?
Yes.
Oh.
This was third grade.
Yeah, which would make you about 8, right?
Right. Yeah, well,
right around
the
there.
Compulsion started early. Yeah.
What did she think when you told her that?
She was shocked. I mean, the look, the conviction, the absolute knowledge that, and Mom, I know what happened.
And you said it with a conviction, no doubt, right?
Absolute. Something, you know, that transcends age. A third grader doesn't, you know, come up with this and know with pain and experience.
Did you know who your name was?
No. No, I know exactly where I died, and I know to this day the
But a lot of guys died there. I was thinking if you at least you knew your name, wouldn't it be something to contact that family? I would assume he had brothers and sisters or someone, even though they're way up in age by now, if they're still alive. What an incredible journey for both of you if you were to meet.
Well, I've been because I know exactly where I died, and the island, the map of the island is forever etched in my mind.
Do you ever long to go back there?
Oh God, all the time. And I died just southeast of Mount Kiribati, and I even identified, and I can't recall at the moment, the branch of the Marine Corps that invaded that section of the island, but I've researched it, and it's always been extremely troubling and emotionally difficult. I've had flashbacks of I was a medic, and I've had flashbacks of working on you know, my fellow Marines, and they're disabling. I mean,
so it still haunts you?
Oh God, yes. I can't think about it without getting upset, and the flashbacks are horrible, and they'll hit me just out of the blue, and suddenly I'll go from completely rational to just emotionally distraught, and I'll shake, and it's strange. There's no other way to put it. I'm sorry if it still bothers me to think
about
this day.
No, that's all right. I understand.
But the black sand and the heat. And
are you able to conduct this life okay?
I'm troubled. I'll say that much.
All the time? I mean, do you go out with friends? You have a great time?
Yeah, I can do that.
Can you put this aside or what?
Yeah, I can. But then out of the blue, something will happen. Like, you know, I was working in the kitchen at a restaurant, and warm dishwater splashed on my face, and suddenly I wasn't in the kitchen anymore. I was in a canvas tent, and it was blood, and I was working on severely wounded people. And for a period of time, it was a juxtaposition. I wasn't in the kitchen at all. It wasn't me. I was literally.
You were
gone.
There
was the glaring sun. There was that canvas tent over top of us, and it was somebody's arterial blood that sprayed my face.
I mean, so you even see these things?
Oh, and the sounds. The sounds, the smells, everything. And within seconds, I mean, it was like a whirlwind, and then swoop, I was right back into my body, and I was suffering from horrible panic attacks.
I wonder if you're doing some remote viewing, going into the past. You know, there are some who have the ability to travel in time, and you might be doing that as well. It might not be reincarnation. You may be a time traveler. You may be witnessing events in the past. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Final segment on Coast to Coast AM. Get ready to get your tape recorders ready for the end of the show, those of you who want to tape that hilarious bit. Okay, I'm going to play that car accident tape for you right at the end of the show so you can tape it. I'm not going to play it for any more. Probably next time you'll hear it will be about a year from now. But for those of you who want to tape it, go ahead and get ready. By the way, Carol says yes to Danny in the marriage proposal. Danny has just sent me another email. He's in shock. Yeah, she said, yes, George, I can't believe it. I owe you one. Just have a great life. So Carol said yes to Danny. It may very well be one of the first internet arranged through Streamlink, however they're listening to us tonight, marriages. So just have a good life, you two. We'll be back. Well, if you're on your computer, go up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Look at the Digicam icon bar there right underneath the story about the free Streamlink weekend. You can click that and see the eight-year-old version of me and take a look at my satellite ears at the time when I was a kid. I mean, they were actually huge. Kids used to call me Dumbo when I was little. I'm glad my head finally grew into my ears because I would have been that way for the rest of my life. So go take a look at it. Little old me, my sister sent me that picture just to remind me how I used to look. Thanks, Glenda. Next on, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey, hi. Where are you calling from?
This is Chris. I'm calling from Billings, Montana.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I had a disturbing dream about 6 years ago, and I kind of wanted to see what you thought about it.
How long ago?
About 6 years ago.
It still haunts you.
Yeah, every once in a while.
What happened?
Well, my dream was my husband and I were sleeping in our bedroom, and we had an infant that was sleeping in the bedroom down the hall. And I'm nervous.
That's right. And was that real, too? Did you have a little infant at that time?
No, we didn't.
You did not. Okay.
No. So, next to my bed, I had a monitor that I could not only hear, but I could see the baby. And for some reason, I woke up in my sleep and looked at the monitor and saw a really tall, dark figure looking down over the infant. And I just froze. I just kept looking at the monitor and didn't know what to do. And so I was staring at the monitor for quite a while, and then all of a sudden, this figure turned towards the camera, like it sensed that I was watching it.
Yeah.
And
was this a horrible creature?
No, it was like 6'5". It had a long, dark cloak on.
So you really couldn't make out the face, though?
No, I couldn't, but it turned towards the camera and looked at me, and like it sensed that I was watching it. And my heart just sank. You know, I was just...
Do you still dream about this?
No, I haven't had this dream since.
Well, so why do you keep bringing it up?
I don't know. It just really was disturbing.
I would just let it go.
Yeah.
The more you let it go, the quicker you let it go, I think it's going to help you out.
Yeah, I think it kind of bothers me now because my husband and I are trying to start a family.
Yeah.
And it was just woke me up from my sleep when
Look, if it hasn't come back to you, I'd let it go.
Okay.
You keep bringing it up, it's going to come back.
Yeah, right.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Yeah.
This is Malcolm from Oak Ridge.
Malcolm,
Tennessee.
What's happening?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about dreams, but yeah, first off, short-time listener, long-time fan of all the stuff
right.
You talk about. So I have a lot of, I guess, what you all call lucid dreams.
So,
basically, like, my dreams are a lot more realistic to me than most people's, where I can, for an example, I can eat something in a dream, and I'll wake up with the taste of it in my mouth. Whether I've eaten it or not, but most of the times I haven't, I still taste it. Or if I get, like, shot or hurt in a dream.
You feel that, the pain?
Yeah, I'll wake up with the pain in the exact same spot.
Oh, man.
And for a while, I even used to dream about things that would happen in the future, like months and sometimes years in advance. Like, I had a dream about college before I had ever been there. And the reason I knew is because I thought it was weird that in my high school we had showers in the bathroom.
Do you change the outcome of your dreams, Malcolm?
Yes, sometimes. I've actually, most of my dreams now, I'm myself. I've died in dreams. I've been different races. I've been women in dreams. And, yeah, I can control dreams sometimes, where there was one dream I had with zombies, and we ran out of bullets. And then I woke up and I realized who I was in the dream, so I just got up and flew away and basically left everybody there to die.
Malcolm, you left everybody and you escaped?
Well, I knew they were fake. They were all part of the dream, but all the same, I didn't want to die. So, and another thing, you were talking before about people entering your dreams. They do it. I don't know who's been doing it in mine, but for
somebody out to get you?
I noticed it's weird, but you know how if you have a dream and there's like crowds of people and you notice there's like people in the crowd that are walking against the crowd, meaning you can just pick them out. They stand out amongst all other people.
Sure.
I see them every once in a while. They're usually in suits, and they always are walking towards me with a purpose.
Sounds like the Matrix.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of those people, and this is way before I'd ever seen them. And, like, I just have dreams where I'll be doing whatever, and then suddenly I'll stop, turn around and look, and I'll see them coming at me. And I usually just run. I've only talked to one of them once.
But you have no idea who's trying to enter your dreams.
I don't know who it is or why they do it, but it's pretty weird.
Well, have you seen them in your dream?
Yeah.
But you haven't met them in real life?
No. I just know they don't belong there. You can tell. It's like with anything. You can tell when something doesn't belong. Like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm just wondering why somebody would try to enter your dream if you wouldn't know who they were, if somebody's out to get you or not. 8 minutes to go before we play the tape. Last time I'm going to play this, get your tape recorders ready. If you miss it, you miss it. It's your fault, not mine. I'm warning you. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
This is Jim in Lake City, Florida.
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Oh, not much. I just wanted to share a story with you.
All right, sir.
You were in the Navy, weren't you?
You're 9 years.
Okay, so you'll appreciate this. Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to my wife. We're both newspaper carriers down here, so we listen to you all the time. She just got me the hat and shirt from the store.
Oh, great.
You guys.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Great. Good for you.
So I was stationed on an aircraft carrier, and we were it was at night, and when we used to have to go from the captain's bridge to the fantail to relieve the watch on the
right.
Fantail. And, well, one night it was cold, and it wasn't too bad. It was probably about 20, 30-foot waves on an aircraft carrier, which wasn't too bad. And I went out the side, and it was because it was a lot easier to go out the side and go down. And they had the railings blocked off. And so, are you there?
Yes, I'm listening intently.
Okay. And so I decided to go outside the rail like a dummy. And it was cold and slippery and everything, and I slipped.
Oh, no.
And in that flash of a moment, I could just kind of, you know, you're going to hit the deck. You know, you're about 5 or 6 stories up, and you're going to fall to your death. Well, as my hand is hanging in midair, something grabbed a hold of my hand, literally, and put it back on the handrail.
And what was it? I know.
It had to be an angel. It had to be the guardian angel.
It had to be. No guys around at the time?
Dude, this was the middle of the night, and I was so scared at that moment. I was froze thinking I was falling. And it literally touched my hand and put it back on the handrail. And I grabbed a hold of it.
Somebody's watching you, my friend.
Oh, I've used up my 9 lives.
you can't. We only get 9.
Oh, no. There are some of us that... No, see, some people only use 3 or 4.
Yep.
There are others of us that use, you know, what they don't use.
We lend them to people.
That's exactly what it is.
But somebody's got to tell the people who gave them up. Thanks for the call. Be careful out there. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
Yeah, and I'm a college student.
Is it Barbara or Barbie?
Well, it's Barbara, but I go by Barbie.
All right.
And I contacted the lady that had that alien web shot on your
on the link, yeah.
And she's offered to sell it to me alive for $1,500.
$1,500?
Now, do you think this is legitimate? I mean, I'm on a...
I wouldn't pay $1,500 for an alien, whether it was alive, dead, or a model. Offer her a dollar.
Oh, dear.
I would not pay $1,500. You're asking me. I'm telling you the truth.
Well, if it was a real alien, wouldn't it be worth it for research?
If it was a real alien, why is she selling it?
Because she doesn't want to keep it.
How'd she get it?
She said that they just don't want to keep it.
Yeah, but how'd she get it? It just show up one day in her backyard?
She showed up behind a bookshelf.
Now, do you really believe an alien showed up behind a bookshelf?
It's possible.
Well, anything's possible, but do you think it's probable?
Well, from the picture, it's pretty blurred, but I can't really tell. I told her that my dad's an attorney.
Why don't you tell her you'll pay her in, I don't know, what were the dollars, Curious, in some of the Star Trek movies? Credits? Pay her in some credits.
No, I don't think she'd take that. But
pay her in futures.
I told her my dad was an attorney, and he didn't believe this, but he said that if it turned out to be real, $1,500 would be a worthwhile investment
Look, I wouldn't pay it. I mean, you asked me, I'm telling you. Don't pay it. Offer her $10. That's probably $10 more than what she's received so far or offered.
Well, that's probably true, but she wants me to pay shipping. And I was wondering
how you're going to ship an alien.
Any idea where she'd be shipping it from?
Is he in a cage?
Yeah.
What's its name?
She hasn't named it.
What would you
made it a hammock and it eats chicken.
What are you going to do with it?
I want to do research on it.
And what are you going to name it?
Well, I don't know. It might turn out to be one of my relatives. You never know.
Well, it's probably... We're all linked together anyway. You know that.
That's true.
So what do you do if the government comes and takes him away from you? You're out $1,500.
Well, that's true, but at least if I got to see it and I knew that it was a real alien...
Do you have that kind of money to spend?
No, but my dad does.
What does he do?
He's a retired attorney.
Oh, he's an attorney?
Yeah.
He's made enough money.
He said, you know, that he could help me get my money back if it turned out to be a scam, but, you know.
My recommendation, you asked me, is not to spend $1,500 on an alien.
Oh. Okay.
All right. And have you gone to see it first before you send her a check?
No, I have no idea where she is, but she told me she had to have an email back confirming the sale within 2 hours.
And I suppose she wants a cashier's check?
She hasn't said yet. I sent her an email and told her I was willing to pay it. And
you
I also
did?
Mentioned my dad was an attorney, so I figured, you know, if she wasn't for real, that would scare her.
And what state do you live in?
California.
All right. Why don't you, just for your own curiosity, find out where she lives and take a little vacation and go see what this thing is?
Well, that's what I'm asking her. I asked her if it was possible, you know, I could drive and pick it up.
I'll bet you. Whereabouts in California are you?
Los Angeles.
All right, I'm in Los Angeles. I bet you, I don't know what we can bet, that the alien is not real and that she's pulling your leg and you're going to be out $1,500.
That's my bet. But until she sends me a real picture of it that's not, you know, blurred, I wouldn't pay it.
Yeah, but even a picture's not going to convince you. You got to go see it.
Well, that's true, but what if she's in Australia, you know? I mean, I can't travel there.
No, then, you know.
I'm not even sure they'd let us.
I'm not
going to
do it. Would you keep in touch with us and let us know what you do?
Well, yeah.
But,
I'll,
I mean,
I'll
you've
let
got
you know how it all comes
you've
out.
Got my recommendation. What are you going to do? You're going to go buy it, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to...
Curiosity kill
I'm
the cat.
I'm going to see what kind of a deal I can make.
$10 max for the alien.
You think so, huh?
That's it. That's fun money. You don't get hurt with that.
All right.
Maybe 15.
Okay.
All right. I'll throw in 5, go 20.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, George.
Okay. Long time ago, guy was late going to work. He was supposed to go to a meeting, and he got delayed. I'll tell you why he got delayed.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's getting out. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20 horsepower jackhammer. We got another woman she's hitting him like she's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the car. The little woman's just beamed him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty Mother Goose woman. She's stuck into him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
All right, I'm putting that away for a year. I hope you had a chance to record it. It is now put away on the old shelf with all the other goodies. Okay, that wraps up tonight. Don't forget Ian Punnett and Art Bell this weekend for Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, don't spend $1,500 for an alien. Be safe, everyone.